In a world where gaming is everything, welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast. This is episode 292. I'm Trev, as always, and I'm only joined by Gray today. How are you doing, Gray?
Yeah, GrayGamer25 here. It's just the two of us today, so, but that's okay. We got lots of stuff to cover, so.
Isn't that a song, isn't it? Somewhere lyrics from a song, just the two
just
of us.
Just the two of us.
the listeners and the viewers wanted to hear more of Gray singing. No. Anyhow, we won't do that to you. Yeah, just the two of us, but that's okay. Other people weren't able to make it, but that's absolutely fine. If it's slightly shorter than usual, it's cool. We've still got plenty of content to talk about. And, you know, Gray and I, we can talk the legs off a hind donkey, so shouldn't be a problem, Gray.
And it makes it really difficult to walk for the donkey.
Yeah, I'm not touching that one. Some of the main talking points today in today's episode, Battlefield 6, all the rage, early access at the moment for that, early access on the open beta, GTA 6 price leaks have been revealed. We have some more leaks in the PS6 and the new PlayStation Portable, whatever they call that. Some Half-Life 3 more teases, that's all they are news-wise, and Tara will be sad to miss that, but hopefully he's listening in and he can hear it. And Sony soon Tencent, so watch this space. But yeah, let's quickly just mention the Discord as always, discord.gg/extremegamingpodcast. I would be doing Gray a disservice if I never mentioned the quick breaks that he does and the shorts on YouTube, little bite-sized episodes and clips of the main topics we talk about on Extreme Gaming Podcast. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, Mr. Gamer, we are going to kick off with you and some interesting news. And to be fair, Gray, you didn't know this, but my title below was a bit pants, so you didn't know that I already mentioned the V-Cash thing. But you kick it off and I'll chip in my opinion because I find that is very, very interesting.
Oh, you know, we've kind of touched on this before about AMD, you know, wanting to release their bigger, better, badder chip, if you want to call it that. But most of us were figuring like, they're probably not going to do it because, you know, what gamer would buy it? However, it looks like they might be changing their mind after all. Basically, they have also stated that a processor like that would be too expensive and the games wouldn't benefit. But that doesn't stop people from wanting to have it. And that's the fact that they're going to be boosting the V-Cache like way up on this thing. So technically, it's going to be the chip that we have, Ryzen 9 9950X3D. But there's three chiplets on the green circuit board, and they only usually put the V-Cache on one. But this is going to have it on all of them. So once they pop it on all of them, it's going to be 192 megabytes of V-Cache instead of just whatever 64. And I'm like, ooh. So it sounds really cool. I have no idea how much this is going to cost. I mean, they don't even hint at a cost in here. But if we paid, what did we pay? Even on a bargain, we paid $500-$600 or whatever. So you can imagine if they're going to put all this on it, I don't know, what, $1,000? Is that, do you think that's unheard of?
Price-wise? Price-wise, it's they could make up their own price. They generally could because it's a bit like the PS5 Pro. That was a good bit more expensive than the PS5 base model because it was an enthusiast-level item. No one else, well, not many people, they knew they wouldn't make a big massive profit that. And the thing is, a lot of these guys would sell their consoles, Sony, Nintendo, cheaper, maybe making a small loss in each of them just to sell units and then sell on accessories and games with them. That was a normal thing, but that was certainly never going to happen with the PS5 Pro because it's an enthusiast. So that would be the same possibly with this chip, Gray. Now, my understanding of it is, and I don't pretend to be an expert on this one, Carl definitely knows more about this side of things than I do, but I take a keen interest. is they're on the chip that Gray and I have, the 9950X3D and the 9800X3D, which is the best gaming CPU on the planet at the moment still. There are two CCDs, that was my understanding anyway, and only one of them had the 3D cache enabled. And the 3D cache is what was making it the best gaming chip on the planet. The only small downside to that was it wasn't as fast or as good as... Still good for productivity, Gray. It was just, it would have been a bit slower, that's all. Just a little bit. For the workload we do, we wouldn't have noticed much of a difference. But the 9950X3D is the best of both worlds. And it solved the issue of only putting... the V-cache on one of the CCDs, but the other CCD was able to go a good bit faster. And you had a thing in the Windows scheduler that you know, the chip could tell Windows and vice versa, listen, this chip here, it's got two CCDs in it. One is for the gaming side of things and one's for the productivity side of things, and the way it would distinguish between the two would be to use the Xbox Game Bar plugin that Windows uses, which is kind of smart because it's pretty good at picking up what's a game, and it gets 9 out of 10 games. The odd one it won't, especially older titles, and you just add it in manually. And it's pretty cool to actually see the difference. Gray's seen it before as well, has 9950X3D. You can see it spinning up or spinning down depending on what, and if he alt tabs between different a game and say Adobe, it'll spin up the relevant CCD, because that was an issue in the 7000 series chips where it wouldn't always spin up and down the correct way. So to have, I said this to Tarl before, I said this to everyone before, why can't we have, and Tarl really wanted this, why can't we have the 3D cache on both CCDs? He wanted that. And we couldn't see any reason for it. We generally couldn't see any reason for it. We thought it would maybe be too much for the chip, or, you know, we're not experts, so we're just hypothesizing, going, maybe it'd be too much, there'd be too much heat, there's too much going on there, it'd be too expensive. Technologically, it's possible. And there you go, Gray and I dig out the exact same article about it possibly happening. And that would be a beast of a chip. Do you imagine that? So, Gray, the 9950X3D that we both have, it's essentially kind of like, one CCD is kind of like the 9950X3D in terms of productivity. So that's 5.7 gig, 8 cores. And then when it switches to the gaming, it's 8 cores, it's something like 5.4 gig, but it's got the V-cache, right? Can you imagine, argument's sake, both of those CCDs running with V-cache on it and 5.7 gig and higher? Can you imagine that? That would be, that's your cake and eating it at the same time.
So what I'll do is when it comes out, I'll sell the one I have and put whatever money I can get for it on the new one.
Well,
the funny thing is that even though they came out, AMD came out and said, like, well, you know, it's not really meant for games and we don't think you're going to see any difference. Contrary to that, many people that are writing these articles are going that they said many games will greatly benefit from the 192 megabytes. They said it means the cores don't have to wait for data to be hauled over from system memory. So they said this is going to be great for gaming. So they come out and say, like, AMD goes, like, well, you know. And meanwhile, everybody else is going like, yeah. So
yeah,
I think it's great. It's a shame we couldn't get, you know, what we wanted. But like you said, but hey, I'm happy. The chip is like way beyond where I was before. And it's so much better in productivity. It's not even funny. My editing is so much nicer, easier, less headaches. It just plain works. And you know, and the games are just as good or better, so I got no complaints.
This would sell if it came out. It really would. It's an enthusiast item. People will still buy it.
Sure.
I think the 9950X3D, at least when I bought it, was like £700, so what, $750, $800 for Gray. I'd imagine, yeah, like Gray was hinting on before, you'd probably be closer to a grand.
Yeah.
Do I need it? No. Do I want it? Of course. But then you're always playing catch up. You know, there's always something coming out. And then when these, if this new rumor chip comes out, then you've got, remember the rumors of the next Zen 5, I think it was, chips possibly running as high as like nearly 7 gigahertz. They were saying well over 6.
Yep.
And I can't see us seeing both having a cake and eat it. I can't see that happening. But let's not forget, Gray, this 9800X3D, which is the best, again, still the best gaming CPU on the planet. Imagine, we're talking about our version of the chip getting better, but the new version of the 9800 could get better. So 9800X3D, 5.4 gig on 8 cores with V-cache. Can you imagine if that one CCD, one only has one, for example, the other one's blank or, you know, not there. Mm-hmm. That one CCD is then bumped up to 5.7 or 5.8 gig as well as the V-cache. Then you've got... this is AMD's race to lose. They're so far ahead at the moment. And yes, we want Intel to come back and you know, competition is good. And they will come back. They're too big a company, I think, to kind of go bust. But we want competition for the punter, you and I. But this is only a good thing, man. We both have AM5 motherboards, which is the new standard. So we are good for many years, going several years forward for upgrades for CPUs. I'm not in a rush to upgrade.
I'm definitely not.
there isn't a rush. It's the thing that comes with the heat requirements as well of something like this. You have to bear that in mind. I don't think I had it noted down anywhere, but there was, Gray, you might have seen some of the reviews and stuff online for the Threadripper chips.
Yeah.
Did you see them? Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Linus and the usual hardware unboxed and
it's only as big
Gamers
as like
Nexus.
Your hand.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's hard to tell how big that chip really is, but it's at least twice as big as a normal chip, if not three times bigger than a normal chip. And you need its own spec of board for it. I can't remember the socket size for it, but Graham, we would never ever need that. Like, that's the consumer level. That's the punter level Threadripper. There's higher than that. We couldn't afford that. That was like $5,000 or something.
Or more,
We wouldn't need it either. The best chip for us at the moment is the 9950X3D.
And besides, you know? If they do this and they add on the extra cache, it's going to move the power up, I think they said, a couple hundred watts. So it's not going to be... It won't be at the wattage that our chip uses now. It'll definitely use more watts and more energy.
It'll be higher. It wouldn't put up a couple of hundred extra watts, and there's no way that would be too much of a jump.
I could have sworn I read it was going to be something like that. I don't know why. I just remember reading it.
It'll be a couple of hundred in general, because at the moment it's something like, I want to say anything between 160 and 200, and I think the newer chips would probably be 200 plus. But I don't have a problem with that. Like more power is going to generate. You need more juice for it. I'm just worrying about cooling the beast. That's why I've got
There's going to be more heat going on. I mean, supposedly.
That's why I've got the biggest size rad you can get. I think it is. It's 480 mil. Huge rad just to keep this new bad boy cool. And the other thing, Gray, before I forget, was obviously there'll be more cache added. You touched on this at the start. So already this V cache is a pretty instrumental thing in gaming and why it's faster. Because it's not just all about clock speeds now like it once was when Intel were at the top of their game. There's more of this V-cache, and there's actually going to be even more of it in the next chips to make it even faster. Now, if the next chips next year are a decent amount faster for gaming, of course I'll consider upgrading, but only if I can see a benefit. I can't see me upgrading my GPU anytime. I kind of regret upgrading that, but I couldn't help myself.
It also kind of depends on what the upgrade is. Like for me, it was a big upgrade as far as the chip goes. But the next time around, you may only be increasing the efficiency, you know, a few percentage points. It's not really worth it. You know, the only thing that's worth it is maybe is the Vcash if the price is reasonable. But, you know, it's not going to be reasonable. It's got to be at least $1,000 or $9.95, you know, or something.
Yeah, but and they can get away with it, like we just said a moment ago. Yeah. I get it. Like, to be fair, I think their chips are priced fairly, man. I do think they're priced fairly. Like, certainly the last I checked, the 9800 X3D was £450. I think you can get it closer to £400 now. And let's say the 9950 X3D was £700, or you can get that closer to £650 now, especially with the sales that come up. I usually post really good deals like that in our Discord. So keep your eyes out there. If I see something really good, I post it there, hardware or software for you guys. And I've got a nice software package coming up shortly, which I'll talk about. Right, okay. In fact, let's just talk about that right off the bat then, because it's moving on to the game news side of things. You've heard of the Humble Bundle before, Gray. It's these guys sell bundles of games together where a decent chunk of the profit goes to charity, and you can get some really good deals. Now, this is the Warner Brothers deal. So Warner Brothers do make games. Let's not forget, they make some good games. Not often.
They made some. They made some
stellar games.
Not recently, but yeah.
No, not recently. No, granted, but they have some belters. So, sure. For £10.93, or the equivalent in dollars, I'd imagine that'd be about 13, maybe 13, as high 14. As $15. You're getting access to 16 games. Now, I'm just going to read them out to you just now. So you've got Middle Earth is one of them. You've got, in fact, wait a minute, we're just double checking. Yeah, you've got a couple of the Lord of the Rings games, which is very important. Gotham Knights, Back for Blood, Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate, Fear, Ultimate Shooter Edition, Middle Earth Shadow of War Definitive Edition, Batman Arkham Knight Premium Edition. You have got Injustice 2, which is a great fighting game. I don't like fighting games, but if you love the DC lore, it's got great cut scenes in it, which basically make their own movie. You've got Batman Arkham Origins, another Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor Game of the Year edition. So these are not just crappy editions. Some of these are like top-tier editions. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which is actually an okay game. It just got overhyped too much, and it was one of these live service games which fell on its arse. You've got Watchmen Part 1 and 2. You've got Mad Max. Still going, guys. You have got another Mortal Kombat game. Mortal Kombat XL. I don't know what that is. That's probably... What's that? Roman numerals. What would that be then? Nah. Anyway, Mortal Kombat XL. Another Batman game, Arkham City, Game of the Year Edition. Batman Arkham Asylum... Arkham City and Arkham Asylum Game of the Year Edition. So these are the top tier ones, and then Injustice 1. I mean, that is absolutely fantastic. And I would have bought that if it wasn't for the fact that I've got some of those games and some I'm not interested in. What's your thoughts on that, Greg? You the same as me?
Yeah, I'm looking at the games. I've played a lot of these, and they're great. I mean, the Arkham Origin games are great. The two Shadow of Mordor games, which is Lord of the Rings, I think are probably the two best Lord of the Rings games that they ever made.
Do you play them?
Oh yeah, I played both of them to death a lot. I mean, fact, they still hold up very well right now. The fighting mechanics on them are great, and they had a thing called the Nemesis system on Shadow of War, I believe. And that was excellent because as you beat the enemy, if you didn't beat them and they got away or you didn't conquer them enough, then they come back levels higher. And you have to get rid of them again. So it was pretty cool how they would do that. Or maybe a particular enemy, one of the bosses, let's say, and you weren't able to totally defeat him, and he was able to get away. Or you had to make choices as to whether you face him or face different enemies. Then he goes away and comes back another level or two higher the next time around. So it was very, very cool. Also because the power that the character had was to take over mines, you know, and stuff if he touched them. And you can also set up the orcs and whatnot to play for you. So you would actually have your own castle full of all these orcs that are paying, that only fight for you and pay attention to you. And it's so cool because they have glowing eyes and all this stuff because they're on you. They're very, very, very good games. So between the Arkham games, the Middle Earth games, probably Injustice 2, I've even heard good things about Mad Max. And I played a lot of these, the Mortal Kombat. I mean, it's well worth it. I mean, that's cheap.
Yeah. Even if you own a couple of those titles, I'd still consider maybe getting it because, let's say, Gray said there's so many other good games there. The Nemesis system intrigues me, Gray, because when I hear a Nemesis, I think of Resident Evil. That big, massive guy from Resident Evil. In fact, that was one of the Resident Evil games, Nemesis, the big guy in it, and from the movie as well. Mm. It's a fascinating system, and if Warner Brothers' gaming division was ever sold, that would be a very unique thing to buy it, just because I would imagine there's a patent out there on that gaming mechanic setup. There has to be, because I don't think anyone else has copied it, probably because there is a patent out there.
I did read an article that unfortunately the Nemesis system that was last seen on the Mortar games is long dead and they're never going to bring it back, apparently, which is a real shame because I thought it was a great little system.
Well,
it's been gone for years, you know.
What was the last game it was in then? Probably the Lord of the Rings games.
Mordor, yeah. And you're talking about Shadow of War, which is, I'm trying to think how old it is now. It's a few years.
Why would you get rid of something like that? That makes no sense. There must not be a...
Well, because look at Warner Brothers doing now. They're in trouble. They lost money. They put out crappy games. I mean, you know, but it is a shame. I thought they could have kept on improving the Nemesis system and putting it into the same game or different games. And it would be something different that we're always wanting. But once they were done with that, they just abandoned it. So if you want to experience it, people out there, get those Lord of the Ring games. So you think you're going to enjoy it.
Great. What I think Warner Brothers are better doing is instead of trying to make more games, they should just like use their license, their IP, and rent it out. You know, like the Coven of... I'm thinking of, oh God, what's their name again? Is it Bad Rope? The guys that Alex Kurtzman runs in Star Trek.
Bad Robot.
Bad Robot, yeah. So they have the rights to, or they had the rights to, say, Star Trek Prodigy. Paramount didn't want it, or season two, so this Bad Robot sold it to Netflix. That's why Netflix got it. And they didn't want another season after that. So that's what you can do with Warner Brothers, like sell IP. Sell your IP out, rent it out, and you still get money in from it, and you've got minimal risk that way. So
you're assuming that they're smart.
it's Homer Simpson smart, isn't it? It's S-M-R-A-T, isn't it?
The funny thing is they are starting to learn some of this through their television stuff, and some of them are now slowly... IPing out licenses to Netflix. So you're starting to see some more shows pop up on Netflix like they did long ago. And it's worth it for them because they just take whatever money. Netflix takes their cut and everyone's happy. And I think they should probably tag some of these really good independents out there that are putting out some great games that we've been playing and let them take a shot at it. Why not? They're doing a better job than you are anyway.
There's some great franchises. It'd be a shame if they stopped making games or they didn't rent out their IPs because, like, I adore Injustice. I hate fighting games. Like, I don't like playing them, but the Mortal Kombat and the Injustice games were absolutely phenomenal. Like, I remember the stories behind them, watching an evil Superman and watching Wonder Woman getting, you know, held off and it was all a hypothetical universe and blah. That was brilliant to watch all that stuff. So I would like them to keep it up in the future. But yeah, that's a great Humble Bundle. I don't know how long it's out there for. So if it's something that interests you, go and grab it as soon as. The other thing that we touched upon briefly last time was a rumour, but I think it's been made official now, is the Starfield game coming to PlayStation 5. Now, that's more of a solid... It's moved from take it with a pinch of salt to it's something that's more or less going to be happening now. More leaks and rumours have come in. It's launching on PS5 next year, together with the first expansion. They're delaying, they're taking their time with it because Gray's played more Starfield than I have. I've only started it at the beginning and I stopped playing it because they were missing a lot of things that the modern community put in, as we know, Gray, and then the guys at Bethesda themselves then put those things in after the modern community to get it to a level it should have been at the start. So in terms of how it runs now, it runs a lot better. But I think a lot of people then just moved on to other games and couldn't be bothered. And then they said, right, this is a game we're going to keep making content for because they've put so much time and effort into it. So we're going to come out with expansions. And I don't know if it was, I think it was maybe one expansion a year, I want to say. The first expansion was called Shattered Space, which got a very lukewarm reception.
Yeah, it's just as bad as the main game.
apparently the start, I haven't played it, but apparently the start of Shattered Space is good, and then it falls off pretty quickly. A bit like Fantastic Four at the old box office, Gray. Have you played Shattered Space? Did you play the DLC?
I didn't play Shattered Space. I played at least 30-40% of the main game, but it's not a matter of the fact that they're, fine, they make it run better. That had something to do with it. But the stuff that I didn't like wasn't the fact of the running right. It was the fact that it's just old. It looks old. They use the same old engine, the same old characters, the same old angles, the same old many things. The same starry eyes, the same close-up people that can't move. I mean, it's just awful. I mean, if I wanted that, I might as well play their 10-year-old games, 15-year-old games, 20-year-old games that move better than even these. But that's all they had back then. So, it's nice that it's coming to PS5 if you all want to try it out. But I don't know what they're going to charge for it, but if they charge any more than, like, $15, don't buy it. So that's my advice.
It's a no-brainer to take it to PlayStation because, let's say, the biggest selling PlayStation game at the moment, or at least it was recently, was Forza Horizon 5, I think it was, and that's just Microsoft being really smart. They're like, yeah, we're not just going to do the console exclusive thing. We realise we're shit at selling consoles. We'll always be second best, so let's be number one at software, and they are. Like, they are making some brilliant games, and Starfield coming to PlayStation will be a no-brainer because people will buy it up in their droves. Because the Shattered Space DLC was come out to muted response, they're going to take their time. They'll launch Starfield together with that first DLC and bundle them together to make it more attractive, and then hopefully then iron out any issues, and then you'll be able to play it for, if you've got a PlayStation PS5 Pro, you'll be able to play it at kind of higher resolution, higher FPS. So watch out for that, guys. I will get around to Starfield at some point.
But by the way, one thing I did read that supposedly they're doing or done or will do, another DLC of types or just an improvement in the game. They said that now you'll be able to travel from planet to planet much better and do things on those planets. Now, let's remember something. They promised that long ago when the game came out, and it wasn't there. And now all of a sudden they're going like, oh, now it's here. I'm like, really?
Who else made that promise? No Man's Sky.
Of course. Here's the thing, though. Even though No Man's Sky had a lot of problems, when it came out, it looked a lot better than Starfield does right now.
Oh, yeah,
So I just don't understand. I just don't get it.
And No Man's Sky, actually, they're working on a new game. I've forgotten the name of it, but it looked brilliant. It looked so good that they actually backported some of the elements, the technical elements of their new game to No Man's Sky. When we talked a few months ago about the big updates, it looked stunning. And that's respect to the guys. I can't remember what they're called, Hello Games. Respect to them for absolutely not charging a thing ever since they brought that game out initially for any fixes, DLCs, anything. It's always been free since. That's how you do it, people. The Starfield rumor mill keeps going on with that one. Expect to see that early next year sometime, along with the first DLC on PlayStation 5. The other thing, which again is ongoing rumour, but we keep hearing it and it's not going away, Grace, so that's why I think there's more credence to this than there was beforehand, definitely more mm-hmm. firm rumour all this time, and that's Half-Life 3, or its code name Half-Life HLX, may very well now be in its final phase of development. Now, it goes on, this article is nearly a week old, so we take it with a pinch of salt, of course. It's been a while since we had anything kind of concrete with this. And despite the lack of new details that we've not really had, work continues on the project regardless. And they're saying that it may have very well reached the final phase according to recent findings. There was a video shared recently from a guy called Tyler McVicker and Gabe Follower. That's his name, Gabe Follower. And actually, a side note, Gabe Newell has actually bought a yacht company recently. How random. You know these guys that make the big super yachts for like multi-millionaires and billionaires? He bought one of them. Cracks me up. The guy is so rich. And I don't begrudge him, man. Good for him.
As long as he invites me on the boat, I have no issues.
You should Google this, Greg. You should honestly Google what these boats look like. And Gabe is saying he wants to leave the company, I can't remember what they're called, to do their own thing. They're doing a great job. It's all about focusing on the person, the customer, first and foremost. I was like, yeah, the rich bloody customers.
On our video edition, I'll be sure to pop in when we talk about the yacht. I'll pop one in. hopefully the correct one, maybe, that he actually bought. That'd be cool.
That would be cool, exactly.
And the only reason I even know about some of these ships is because I watch a program called Below Deck. And
oh, my God. That's for women? What the hell?
It's a reality show, but I find it hilarious because it follows the day-to-day life of people that work on the yachts and stuff. But wow, some of these boats, holy moly. Jeez, they're nice. This one was huge. It had three levels, and the boat is, gigantic. And sometimes it's actually pretty cool. Like, they went into a certain port or something where the bridge is only so big and it's only so wide for a super yacht to get through. And wow, man, they're, like, this far from getting the boat scraped. And then they showed some video of boats like that hitting the side of the bridge and ripping off part of the boat. I'm looking at this going like, whoa. I said, that's okay. A little dangerous there.
What? Okay.
But if he's got one of these things that I've seen, it's like, wow, man, that's.
So welcome to the Extreme Yacht Podcast with Trev and Gray. We talk about big things and boats and yachts.
I bet you Gabe has a bunch of gaming PCs on it.
I bet you doesn't.
I don't know. Like, come on, have a game room, maybe?
There'll be PlayStation or something. That's usually what happens. But yeah, so your man, Tyler McVicker and Gabe Follower, it was reported June 29th update. Not only brought changes, improvements to Counter-Strike 2, but also behind-the-scenes changes to the Source 2 engine related to the Half-Life 3 HLX project. One new line of code in particular, the one mentioning thumpers to scare Anatons, I don't know what they are, which mirrors a line of code in Half-Life 2, seems to be a direct message to data miners and further confirmation that the project continues to be in active development. Now, of course, some people
a direct message to data miners, so he knows that people are data mining and he puts something out there for them to see.
Yeah, but this is what I was saying. While the rumors are still continuing, we take it with a pinch of salt. I don't know how I feel about that. I think this is something that is happening. Otherwise, it's the biggest troll ever, and I hope Steam's... I was going to say their shares tank after that if it's not true, but they're not.
I don't think
public.
It's trolling.
They're not public, so...
There's too many articles and too many sources that we've even quoted here over the months that It's definitely coming out. Maybe we don't know when, but it, you know, it's
happening. It'll come out as a polished thing as well, Gray. That's the thing. Like, they don't release games that are broken.
Exactly.
They take their time and they polish them so they'll come out like a Nintendo game, polished and ready to go. No early access gold release.
Remember, we had that video come out that the G-Man did or whatever. I mean, you can't get any more than that, that about knowing that the game is definitely going to come out. Why would they put out a video with the G-Man's voice? I mean, of course they're going to do it, or doing
it. No, of course they are. Of course they are. Yeah. It's too obvious of a leak to not bring something like that out. To be fair,
yeah.
I think it is something 100% we'll actually see, and we'll see very, very, very soon.
You know what I'd like to see, but it'll never happen. It would be cool if Half-Life 3 was released at the exact time that GTA 6 is released.
But then
the war between the two.
GTA would win, unfortunately. It would. And I say unfortunately just because I know which I would rather play. But yeah, okay, moving on from that, Matt was going to talk about this as well, but so was I, so I'll just carry on in his honour. And that is Battlefield 6. So as of today, we released the podcast August 7th, early access to the open beta is available. If you got in, you could get in via registering, or you could get in via watching your favourite Battlefield streamer for half an hour on Twitch, and then you got released in early. If you miss today and tomorrow, then don't worry, there is the weekend to come where you can get into the standard open beta. However, Gray, ahead of these servers going live, there was already thousands of people in the queues, in the server queues, thousands of people waiting to get in. I mean, oh my God, do we think they've possibly got a winner on their hands, Gray?
Maybe.
It's just too huge a game to not actually be a success. I am really looking forward to this, I must admit. Gray, you tried to load this up earlier on, but you don't have it downloaded yet, do you?
No, not yet. I was trying to, but I think I need to move to Steam to do it, from what I understand. Yeah. But I'm trying to find out now where I had read, because here it is. It says specifically for PC, you can access the beta through Steam, Epic, or EA. So you can get it from any of the three. So that works.
That's good to know. That is good to know, man. I'm showing something in the background for audio listeners, just a little bit of the multiplayer reveal. And from what I saw before, it looked pretty, pretty good. No idea when this is going to release, though. We don't know. All the EA would say is it's just looping over and over again. That's pretty annoying.
Well, there's not much. They're going to have another a beta after this, too, the following week, I believe. So I'm guessing since it's August, I don't know, maybe October, November? Maybe.
That's being optimistic. I think they should do that then.
Or at least by holiday time, right?
Yeah. Well, it could, if it's in the financial year, it could be as late as the start of April, couldn't it, technically? But then you don't want it out just before GTA comes out, so they're better releasing this before the end of the year, especially if they're doing early access and stuff. Not early access, open betas at the moment.
I think unless they have some problems, it's going to come out this year. They're not going to wait till 2026, again, unless they have some real problems.
Yeah, 100%. This is a good stress test for them at the moment, because the fact that they had thousands of players ahead of the servers going live trying to get in shows exactly how mental this really is. I will try and get around to it this weekend if I can. No promises there. I believe Matt was going to try and do that as well.
And I'll try to download it too, so maybe we can all do something. If not this beta, for sure the next one. I mean,
that's if there is another one, it might be ready to go then.
No, there is. There's two. There's going to be this one and another one a week after. So they're doing two betas.
Right.
I can check and tell you the date, because they had emailed me.
August the 14th to the 17th.
Yeah, 14th, 17th, yeah, which probably means it really, again, for some people.
So,
but
so the 9th and the 10th and the 14th to the 17th. So, yeah.
Technically, that's only 4 days after the first one ends.
That's enough time for them to review the data, Gray, and then move on. And
yeah.
These are just server stress tests. That's all these are, really. It's to see how well the servers can handle it more than anything else, because they'll probably got people polishing the game and testing it out anyway. What was I going to say? I can't see me getting this game, mate, because this will be a full-blown purchase on... It won't be an $80 game. It'll be a $70 or £60 game. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't pay that because I very rarely pay full whack for a game, especially when you've got Xbox Game Pass, which gives me COD for free. Well, you know what I mean? Not free, but included.
Yeah, right, part of the pass, right.
And I have a little game of that every now and again. I love the zombie mode. I play that with my pal Brendan. And it's good fun. The odd time I'll play a bit of multiplayer with you guys. It's good for a quick game. But I'm not paying £60 for a game that is not like a Half-Life, it's not a Doom kind of game. So,
that's the cheapest price.
Well, no, of course, yeah, we'll go up. Or if you've got the EA, it's on EA Play, so it's on multiple platforms, but if you do it through EA, they've got a Game Pass as well. And their premium tier will have it, because their basic tier is tied in with Xbox Game Pass, but that's their older games that are available, Gray, so this would not be eligible for it when the game is launched, I wouldn't imagine.
Well, it might not be a day one in Game Pass, but it may pop up in Game Pass eventually.
Day one! Sorry, I had to say
World that. World premiere!
World premiere.
World premiere, exactly, man. While I'm here, Gray, I'm going to sneak this one in as well.
Sure.
Sony's chief financial officer has said she expects Marathon to be released by the end of March 2026. Now, Marathon, as we recall, was that game from Bungie, the one that was delayed because of plagiarism. They won't admit that, but that's basically the reason it was delayed. This was in a Q&A session following the company's latest financial results. And Sony execs were asked about the current state of a Marathon following the shooter's official delay. And it says the caller, so they had people calling up for these meetings. Yeah, I guess you do get that. Someone asked for their update on the management of Bungie, as well as what Sony would do in the worst case scenario if Marathon was to be cancelled outright. And the Sony CFO, Lin Tao, responded by saying Marathon is still due to come out by the end of March 2026. She says, first about Marathon, how we factored it in the forecast we expect to launch within the financial year, she replied, via an interpreter. Because I guess that'd be in Korean, wouldn't it? Sony, yeah. But having said that, this is not a commitment. No official announcement has been given yet. She goes on to say, we're doing modifications in development, i.e. removing the plagiarism. I just added that bit in, guys. She didn't actually say that last part. Based on the progress in the autumn timeframe, we believe we can communicate when we will launch either from Bungie or PlayStation. And then she said, with regards to Bungie, Tao reiterated Sony's decision to take more control over the studio's management, with the eventual aim being to completely integrate it into PlayStation Studios. She mentions the governance of Bungie. At the time of acquisition, we were offering a very independent environment. So that was one way of thinking, she says. However, thereafter, we have gone through structural reform, as we announced last year. So this independence is getting lighter, and Bungie is shifting into a role. It's becoming more of a part of PlayStation Studios, and integration is proceeding. So in the long term, if you can see this as an ongoing process, the direction of Bungie is to become a part of PlayStation Studios. So is that safe to say, Gray, that Sony are a bit fed up of Bungie's foobars and making an arse of it, getting a Last of Us live service game cancelled when it would have been brilliant because it was Naughty Dog, making an arse with plagiarism, making an arse of Destiny, Are we trying to then say that Bungie are sick of them having their own way and they're going to take them back in-house now completely? They're just absorbing them slowly.
I mean, it probably would be good because if they did absorb and eventually the Bungie name disappears, it's better for them on a PR side of things. So
it really is.
That happens often in corporate world. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It's almost like kind of like how they put the name of the company and then it says formerly Bungie. And then the formerly Bungie gets smaller and then it gets smaller and then it disappears completely.
Until it fades out of existence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of shrink it out and then it's like, oh, it's never been here actually. Yeah, that's it.
I won't be touching that marathon game of 10-foot barge pole. I love Destiny. Destiny 2, I'm happy with that. Marathon, I don't like the art form. I mean, actually, no. The art form is okay. I just don't like the fact that it was stolen. And there's no way they redo the whole art for that game because if they did, it would delay it so much longer. All I think they'll do is they'll settle with the Scottish artist that they ripped it off of and give him some cash for it. And call it quits. And it's also one of these looter-shooter games, a bit like Escape from Tarkov kind of thing. Or Apex Legends, great. Those games are not really my cup of tea. As he drinks a big, massive mug of tea. So, yeah. They have to release this game because there's too much at stake for them to cancel it.
Yeah.
Although Concord was a thing.
I was just going to say.
They don't want another embarrassment on their case, though, Gray.
They must feel confident enough that when it comes out, it's going to be okay. You know, but I don't know, man. They're getting a lot of bad press. And they've been canceling games. It's not that they haven't. I mean, and not just them, but other companies, too, have been dumping games that we're all waiting on. And all of a sudden, that's it. I mean, I especially don't get it when we were talking about before about handing the game over. If you got a game and it's like, let's say half done or two thirds done, and then you decide to cancel it, that's the perfect time to hand it over to an indie, a talented indie, and just say, okay, here you go. Here's the assets. Here's what you need. Here's the coding. Take it from this point forward and, you know, let us know when you're done. And they just do it. And now it's already partially done. They just got to go in and make it better and finish it off. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we're ever going to see that happen, but who knows? You never know.
I mean, of course, none of us are business experts in that. We don't know what goes on. But, yeah, it does make sense. Instead of cancelling these things and writing off how many tens of millions of dollars, sell it to someone. Like, what's there? It could be that just...
Yeah, what's to lose if you're not putting it out?
Madness, yeah. I mean,
you know, and then someone when it's done... You. You still got your name on it as well as the indie's name.
And you still get some money back for it if it does well. So
Yeah,
exactly. So yes, that is me for the moment, Mr. Gray. What have you got on your docket?
More game news, and a lot of it kind of goes around money because that's what's going on.
Money. You need kind of like a money like picture or something on the screen or like a jingle or something.
It almost sounds like the way it goes these days. Anyway, everybody's been wondering what GTA 6 is going to be costing, and everybody's had their ideas and what it might be. And apparently, the price was posted. It was only up briefly, and somebody, I don't remember the person, was able to screenshot it, and then it was pulled down right away. But at least it did get screenshot. So apparently, the deluxe edition of GTA 6 is going to retail at £90, which means $100. In the US.
Yeah.
The deluxe edition, right. The premium edition is going to be £110, which means $120+. And that's pretty close to what we were saying probably would happen. And I'm just like, wow, man. Jeez. I'm sorry. I'm glad I'm not a GTA fan, so I am not going to spend that kind of money. I don't care how good it is. I mean, that's just
agreed.
Man. And the thing is, too, is it's never going to get cheap enough to buy for at least a year or two. So really, it cuts anybody who doesn't or can't afford or won't pay that kind of money, you're out of luck for the next couple of years. You know, so there goes that. But I was just like, wow. I mean, I understand how big GTA 6 is and they're going to make, you know, billions of dollars. And that kind of just brings me back to what I had said before. If you're going to make billions of dollars... Well, then lower the price a little so other people can play it.
Gray, here's the thing, right? The article does say that the deluxe edition of GTA 6, that like you say, will be £90, so like probably $100. That's the deluxe edition. The peasant edition, as I like to call it, the standard edition, I reckon that'll be £10 lower again, so £80. Yeah. Would I pay £80 for that game? Potentially, because I could then just complete it and then sell it on. Possibly. Is it worth £80? Possibly. Now, a AAA game in the UK is £70 at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth £10 extra as a one-off? Yes, probably. It's going to be a massive, huge game, especially if they include the GTA Online element, which is their big cash cow for GTA 5.
Hold on, now that you mention that, they said that from what they're hearing, GTA 6 will not launch with an online component, and GTA Online will be added later. They don't say when later, they just said later, or it may be a possibly a separate game entirely.
So
you're going to pay all that money and get no online part.
So not only is it not coming out for PC or probably Switch right off the bat.
Right.
But it's now also not going to come, at least initially, potentially, with the online element. I'm sure this happened with GTA 5. The online element wasn't there at the start as well. I could be wrong. Apologies if I am. You should be releasing both of those elements at the same time, even if you're charging for both elements. There should not be an excuse, guys, in the amount of money and resources you've got for GTA Online to be delayed unless you've got a very good reason for it. That is madness. Is that fair, though? £80 for just the story content?
No.
Maybe if it's huge?
Well, you could take I mean, if you're a GTA fan, and we know the game is usually quality, so you could argue and say, like, well, if I'm going to spend 80, I'll spend it on that one, but I'm not going to spend anything else.
Yeah.
You know, which still is bad for the industry somewhat, because, you know, no one's going to pay it. But, you know, we'll see.
I wish that came out at the end of this year as it was originally planned, because I could have put it on my Christmas wish list and got a family member to get it for me. Because it's coming out in May, that is not close to my birthday or Christmas, so I'm forking it out if I want that.
I get to the point, for birthday or holiday, that's the only way I'll even see it. Or somebody gives you a gift certificate so that you can chop the price in half, technically, you know, using your money. And that would be worth it.
Great. When do you think they'll release? Just guess or hypothesize.
For
when
six,
do you think they'll start ramping up more content and more details about GTA 6 in terms of, like, more trailers and pre-orders? Surely they've got to do it 6 months before. So at the latest, it would have to be the start of next year, wouldn't it?
I was going to say now, because I thought they might want to take advantage of the holiday season. But because the game is so big, it doesn't even matter when they release it. You know, other games would opt to stick it right around the holiday period. They don't have to, because they know it's going to sell no matter what. So my guess is, like you're saying, at this rate, since we haven't really seen much more, it's looking more like January, February, March.
Well, it comes out in May, as we know, which is the new financial year. But if they announce this, if they announce, like, pre-order details in the next few months, they could still get a hell, that we'll get over $1 billion in pre-orders alone before this financial year's out, which makes it look brilliant for Take-Two's financial sheet. And then they'll sell a shit ton more in the next financial year. So for the next few years, Take-Two's finances are going to go through the roof.
Yeah. I think what they'll probably do, if I would do anyway, for me, since the holiday seasons will be coming, I would then release gameplay, extensive gameplay, like 20 minutes, an hour or more, of people playing the game or the devs playing the game, whatever. Because then that'll get people all jazzed to watch this gameplay over and over again, and they'll talk about it forever. And that'll build up the hype to when the holidays are over and we start traveling into January, February, March. They can start releasing more stuff and surprises or whatever's coming, and then they'll be ripe for May to do just go gangbusters, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
So then we'll see. It's still got a time to go, but it doesn't really help us because it's PC. So, well, it's okay for you because you have a PlayStation.
That's the main reason I have a PlayStation, mate. I do need to finish GTA 5 before it comes out, though. I really do. and I will not double dip. So if I get it on PlayStation, I will not get it for the PC. I'm not one of these guys. And that's very why Rockstar are doing this. They know people will double dip. I ain't double dipping. No chance.
Yeah. I think since we're kind of talking about prices, I'm going to switch my stories around. This is an article I read, which doesn't surprise me whatsoever. And they're saying gaming industry's $80 pricing strategy is facing a major setback already. So I was going to say, like, what that's all about. And it's funny because this person that wrote this article blames it on Nintendo. He calls it the Great Nintendo Price Hike because he doesn't know what else to call it.
It's very catchy, isn't it? It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. And then he said they're saying that there's only a few actual $80 games that have been announced or released. But Xbox had to walk back one of the games that they were talking about. So apparently they're originally going to sell Outer Worlds, the sequel that's coming out, for $80. Everybody got, you know, angry and whatnot, and they had to back down and say that it's going to sell for $70 now. And it wasn't even a matter of trying to get, like if you're going to sell it for $80.
You mentioned this last week, didn't you, Grace? Sorry, about Outer Worlds 2 reversing their decision, didn't you? For those that were around.
At that point, I didn't know they were going to actually do it. I figured, you know, it'd be nice.
That was rumor mill then.
Yeah, now apparently they are going to do it. And some people were saying, and rightfully so, if you're going to do $80, why would you not want to pick something like Doom or Halo or some of the other big ones that you could maybe get away with it?
That's
instead
fair.
Of Outer Worlds, and that makes a lot of sense when you think about it. I mean, if I'm going to choose, and I'm not going to spend $80. But if I were going to spend $80, I'm going to look at those games and go like, nah. But if it's Doom, I'll go like, okay, you know.
Yeah, but we touched on that just a matter of moments ago, didn't we? We were talking about things like GTA. Would we pay that for the and you one-off games? You can understand that, but that's maybe on average, maybe one game a year, mate. Now.
Exactly, and the problem is that if some of these games come out at this price point, and we're simply not going to be buying them, then I would assume that we're going to be doing a lot of indie buying, because if they're coming out with games left and right as they are, and the games are quality, I'll just spend my. I'd rather spend $40 or $50 or whatever on a good indie than spend $80. So this is ripe for them. I mean, look at all the games coming out of the Asian continent. I mean, there's like. There's Japanese games, Chinese games, Korean games coming out left and right. And they're good and they're quality. The only downside at this point right now that I could put on that is that a lot of the games tend to be going towards the same type of theme. That's not to say that the gameplay isn't good or the game isn't good, but when you start making, you know, you start coming out with four or five games at a time that all kind of look have the same theme, like Souls-like-ish, kind of whatever. You got to start coming up with something more original, but still, the games are better than a lot of the garbage that's coming out anyway. So we'll see. I got a funny feeling Microsoft's gonna keep it right at 70 unless it's some really slam bang title or something. And I can't even think of anything that you could or would want to spend that kind of money on. To kind of stick with the money,
Battlefield for us, but it would be a contender.
Yeah. To stick with the money theme before I go on to something else, this is something that I was waiting for this article to come out. I knew it would happen any day, and now Sony is going to be suing Tencent for copyright infringement on its Horizon Zero Dawn series. And I'm sitting there going, like, when they first introduced Tencent, the game Light of Motrian, whatever they call
this.
It.
We called this.
Yeah, exactly. And this was a long time ago. We all said, like, yeah, wait till this comes out. We were even surprised that at that time that Sony wasn't already announcing a suit. So apparently they must have been getting their ducks in a row before they...
They were.
Right. And they're calling it a slavish clone of a Horizon. They said that they're copying several distinctive Horizon elements and it threatens to confuse buyers. There's no doubt about it. When you go and look at the game and you look at Horizon, it's almost like they just stuck the middle finger up to Sony and said, "Eh, we're going to make our own Horizon game." Now we have some new information coming out that kind of explains this little war they're having, if you want to call it that. Apparently, they said that they were offering Sony a Horizon game that Tencent would do, and they presented it to them and so forth. And Sony basically said, "Nah, we're good." And then they went off and created Motrin. So it's almost like it's a spite game that they made the game just to spite them. The funny thing was in the lawsuit, get this, they wrote this apparently in the lawsuit. It says Sony said that video game journalists have characterized Light of Motrin as a knockoff of Horizon, including one, this is, wait for it now, this is great, including one who called the game Horizon Zero Originality.
Is this not a waste of money for them, Gray? They've spent how much money trying to copy this so far? And they must have known this is going to happen. They can't be that dumb. Because my understanding is, and this is part of the reason Sony took so long, Nintendo do the same, where they sit in bloody Discords and whatnot, try to gather all this evidence together. If you've seen some of the pictures of the legal document that Sony have lodged in the courts in California, you see the evidence that they've got. Mm-hmm. They're going to win this. This is bulletproof, this document. The Tencent do not stand a chance. What will happen is they'll just settle out of court. They'll agree to not release the game and give them so many millions, and that's what will happen.
It says here that Sony has asked for an unspecified amount of monetary damages. I would love to know what that figure is. And an order blocking Tencent from violating its IP rights. So
don't release the game, basically, or change it significantly.
Yeah, they would have to change it so significantly, they have to just tear it up and have a whole new game. I mean,
so that's how many millions wasted, Gray? That's mental. Oh, that's just, they can't be that dumb. Or Tencent are really rich, but they can't be that dumb. People will lose their jobs.
Someone is stupid, because it really just reeks of just being very, very petty and wanting to do this is like kids in a sandbox. You know, I'll get you. I want to. And that's, I mean, it's just blatantly looks like that. I mean, I would have said, it kind of looks like it if they did something else. But they had side-by-side comparisons of pictures, and it's just like, it's Horizon. It's like Horizon 3 or something that they went out and did. Ridiculous.
Would you would love a Horizon 3, Gray. I've only played a bit of each game. I've still to get around to them. Did you ever play Burning Shores? Did you ever get around to that DLC?
Yeah. I didn't finish the DLC yet, but I did play a bunch of it.
You haven't finished any game you've started, I don't think.
So many things are coming out, man. I just like, I can't. I still have DLC that's, I think one or two DLCs that have come out for Sniper Elite 5. So you know I'm busy if I don't get to that.
This is why, and I'll say it 10 million times more, every time that someone says there's nothing for me to play, I want to do the whole Batman to Robin slap and go, get a grip. You've got a massive Steam library, never mind an Epic library, never mind a GOG library, never mind a PlayStation or an Xbox library. So you've got plenty.
Especially
and
Epic.
Grace just proved that.
We all have tons of free games from Epic that would just sit there.
Oh yeah, like they do. I must admit, Epic do some brilliant, brilliant stuff. They really do. Yeah. That's the way it should be. Is that you finished on that article?
No, we're going to get around to some better, more happy games, news. Yeah. That hasn't have nothing to do with money per se. Xbox Game Pass has announced a bunch of the games that are coming out day one, world premiere. One of them is Wuchang Fallen Feathers, which actually I picked up and I've only played a tiny bit of it, but I really like it so far. So Wuchang Fallen Feathers is coming. Grounded 2, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4, Rise of the Tomb Raider. So those are all coming. And then confirmed going further into the month of August, they're going to have Farming Simulator 25. Can you believe that there's been 25 versions of this game?
I think it says in 2025. I don't think there's been 25 versions.
No, but even if, you could be right. Yes, but there has been a lot, though. I mean,
How can you upgrade that game every year? I mean, I know there's like sports games and Football Manager's updated every year, and I find that difficult to make enough changes to justify it. But Farming Manager, what have you got, an upgraded combine harvester or something, like the new model?
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe they never put in like certain crops, so they just add in crops. Well, this version we're gonna have sweet potatoes. Yeah.
No, that's the DLC, mate. That's the extra DLC.
There you go.
Sweet potato DLC.
So that's already, I think that's already out. August 1st it came out. Madden NFL came out August 11th for standard, ultimate, and PC subscribers. So that's all good. Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, if you like that game, the enhanced edition.
Have you ever
edition.
Played American football games? Sorry to interrupt you. Do you like American football games?
I don't now. I don't really care about it that much, but I did play it a bunch when I was younger, and in fact, a lot of people did. I'm not sure if they're as big as they used to be. From what I've read, I think there's just
But they're still
cool.
massive. Madden's a massive franchise for EA still. Yeah.
Yeah, it is, but I think the sales were better in past years. So not that it's doing bad. It's not. In fact, my grandson had the game, and I hadn't played a Madden in years, so I just curious on, you know, where the graphics went and everything, how the game looks, and go, it looks pretty damn good. It looks like it's a real game. I mean, like you're watching a real NFL game.
And it's Madden named after, for those that don't know, the famous commentator, what was his name, something Madden back in the day?
Super Bowl coach, too. He coached the Oakland Raiders.
What was his full name again, though?
John Madden.
John Madden, that's it, yeah. He must be absolutely minted now, that IP. Is he still with us, actually?
No, John Madden died a few years ago. But they've kept
then,
the name on the game.
Rich.
And I mean, the family or the estate allowed it, the name to carry on. Do you remember?
They'll still get money for that, Gray. They'll still be getting money
sure
for
will.
That.
Sure they will. Yeah. I don't know if you guys over there have heard of this, but have you ever heard of the Madden NFL game curse?
No.
This goes way, way back. And I don't remember how many years this was true, but for like a bunch of years, like 8, 9, 10, 11 years, whoever was featured on the front cover of the game, generally it was usually like the number one pick or who would have been the number one pick in the NFL draft or whatever that most people figured, you know, would go on to be a star. Every one of those that were picked actually bombed out of the NFL.
Oh, dear.
So they started going, it's a Madden curse, it's a Madden curse. No one wants to be on the cover. And I think they even, at some point, just because the hype was getting to them, I think they changed the whole thing about who they feature on the cover. Now they do it all differently. But boy, for a long time, it was like... And then they even had people the actual person that they were thinking about putting on the cover of the game, they actually went to them and go, no, don't put me on the game. That's okay.
Oh, that's hilarious, you know? Man.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And you know, people don't, I mean, a lot of NFL players when it comes to the game, I'm not going to say a lot, but a fair amount are definitely superstitious about stuff like that. I mean, some of them, you know, wear their favorite socks when they play the game or they wear.
I'm not superstitious. I walk under ladders, man. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, I don't really care either. I'd walk under a ladder just to see what would happen.
Yeah.
<Not really kidding.
laughs> Well, other games
The other thing that's coming that is kind of exciting is Gamescom 2025 is going to take place August 20th to the 24th in Germany. Right. And the Xbox booth is going to have playable demos of 20 different titles, including Borderlands 4, Hollow Knight Silksong, EA Sports FC 26, along with a first look at the handheld Xbox ROG Ally.
Ooh.
So that should be kind of cool. So we're going to see some stuff pretty soon come out.
I wonder if Hans will go to that. Hans, if you're listening, I know you go over to Germany a lot. You live close there. I think he was talking about going, or he's been to one of them in the past. So,
well, the good thing is it's going to be broadcast live on the 20th and the 21st. So that'll probably be on Twitch and YouTube, I'm sure. So we'll see that. Frostpunk 2 is coming in September. Outer Worlds 2, which we talked about before, is coming
Frostpunk
in October.
Okay.
And Call of Duty Black Ops 7, they don't say when, but at some point within this year. And remember when we were talking about, or I was talking about how Hideo Kojima loves himself so much in the past podcast we had?
Oh, yes.
I just had to mention this. It's at the very end, it goes, Hideo Kojima has hit out at sad, blockbuster military games and claimed most AAA studios are playing things too safe. He also said he has no interest in playing the upcoming Metal Gear Solid 3 remake. So no one really cares about his opinion, but of course he had to come out and say something. So yeah,
that guy's ancient, isn't he? But like a lot of Japanese folk, he looks a lot younger because he looks after himself. I'm sure the guy's like 60 or 70 or something. Then
he's got a wig,
but
or colored hair.
He looks no. Generally, I think he looks after himself. I think he looks 10, 20 years younger than he actually is. I mean,
yeah.
Wow, I'm very jealous. But the guy is a nutter. Like,
I guess if you made the money he did, you could, you know, and you had the right plastic surgeons, you could look like anybody.
And also, if you've got the money he has, then you can make wacky mental. He was the type of guy, remember, that with Death Stranding 2, he let people play it beforehand to gauge interest. They said it was brilliant. So he went, I'm having none of that. And he went in and changed bits of the game because he didn't want people to think it was brilliant. He wanted people to think it was unique and different and out there. He didn't want them to think it was brilliant. That, you need help. I'm sorry. You need help if that's the case.
I would have said, put the game out as brilliant. Go work on another one that's unique.
He owns all the rights. So what are you going to do to that, man? It's yeah. The first game was great and the second great. The game got good reviews. So what do I know, Gray?
Yep, exactly. Cool. Anyway, that's all for my game news. I think you
guys. Thank
some
you, Mr. Gray. Well, we'll tie on from that then. The one or two interesting new games being released, I think, as of now for the PS Plus Game Pass. Yeah. August free games. So you get free games if you're a member, and then you'll get the PS Plus games that you get to play each month outside that. So the free games you get this month are The Lies of P, or Pi.
That's supposed to be really good. I haven't played it, but it's supposed to be very, very good.
Yes, I've heard great things about it too, mate. The DLC Overture for Lies of P is out as well, although that is $30 in the PS Store, which is fine. I don't expect them to include DLC. If you really enjoy the game, then you could buy that. My Heroes 1, Justice 2, not heard of that, that's the PS4 game. And then there's the PS4 version of DayZ. There isn't a PS5 version of that. So DayZ, the popular zombie survival game that's on PC, is also out on console as well. Because there was never a PS5 version of it, this is the PS4 version, so it'll be boosted for FPS. But it'll still be whatever the quality was. I wouldn't play a game like that on console. A game like that has always got to be in PC for me personally, but to each their own.
Why wouldn't they go PS5? Is that would be that much expensive to
build? No, because you have to go in and make a patch and then recode again for PS5. Oh, and I don't think they want to do that, mate.
They'd rather just charge $80 for a game. Okay, I get it.
And it's their right. I mean, it's annoying, but it is their right. So. Moving on from there, I haven't talked about this in a couple of pods, but Nintendo Switch news. Dun, dun, dun.
In a couple of pods, maybe one.
maybe one and a half, if I'm being generous. This isn't actually Switch 2, this is Switch 1. So I mentioned this before, but it's actually happening now officially, and it's kicked in as of now. Nintendo Switch 2 prices have stayed the same despite Trump going a bit mad with the old tariffs over there, but Switch 1 prices have increased, which is a bit bonkers, this, to be fair.
Yeah, they didn't wait to buy it.
people will still buy that, not as many, and they will have a long cross-generational period, Nintendo, I think, with this one. So Nintendo did wait for quite a while until August 3rd to unveil their new prices, and US retailer Target were a company who did have the prices up very shortly for this. They've increased the price of the Switch 1 by $30. So the Switch now retails $340 USD, and that's $40 up from the previous price. According to this, the Switch Lite, which is the one that you can't dock, is now $230. And that's up $30 from the last price. And then the Switch OLED, which OLED is just beautiful, that one. That's the one I had before I got the Switch 2, is $400. And that's $50 up from the previous price. I don't see why you would bother with Switch OLED. For an extra $50, you can then get the next Switch. Switch 2 didn't make any sense.
The Switch 2 hasn't gone up in price, right?
No, they've kept that the same.
That's because they imported so many of them before all this craziness.
They did try to import a lot of them. See, this is the thing, Gray, right? I feel bad for the average American with this one, because I don't want the average American like you to be shafted with these tariffs, which is what potentially will happen. But I thought what might happen initially was Nintendo will take some stock from elsewhere and funnel as many of these Switch 2s into the US before Trump's tariffs took place to try and mitigate that. But then that means a region or other regions in the world suffer because of what's going on in the States. And that's wrong. So like I said, I do feel sorry for the average American consumer, but I also don't want other people from other countries suffering as well because of something they've got no part in. So this is maybe the best of a bad bunch. The way they're trying to mitigate this on top of increasing Switch 1 prices is there's increasing prices of hardware in general outside Switch 2. So they're increasing the prices of their peripherals. So those little Joy-Cons, the little controllers on the end, Gray, they're going up to $100 for a pair. $100 for $100? Those two things. And that's that's for the Switch 2 ones. The Switch 2, they're not Switch 1, they're Switch 2 accessories. Man. Mental. Absolutely mental, my friend. I don't get that one at all. They're increasing the price of like other things as well, including the cameras as well. Not many people will be buying them, so I'm really not surprised. I can't get away with those prices, man. That is just absolutely nuts.
I'm glad my son got the price when it first came out, even though it was expensive, he got it. So because things are bound to go up, you know, and he has everything, just the hand things and the controllers and all that stuff. So
I should clip that, Gray. I should literally clip what you just done there. That's disgusting. Like that was bad gesture. The other thing that I had from the kind of the hardware tech news side of things was, we haven't mentioned this much recently, but remember, so you've got DLSS from NVIDIA, and you've got FSR from AMD, as well as lossless scaling from whoever makes lossless scaling. I can't remember the name of the company. PSSR, or PISR, as Gray likes to call it. Intel have got their own version of their frame gem technology, their upscaling tech.
Finally, huh?
It doesn't... Well, not finally, it's just we haven't talked about it much recently. It doesn't roll off the tongue, this one. XESS. And that's basically Intel's frame gem tech to compete with AMD and NVIDIA. Now, the interesting thing about this is they've got a thing called an SDK, which enables developers to actually get in and fully utilize this. They've released 2.1, and this opens up the tech to actually better compete with AMD and NVIDIA. They launched this, I think it's already out at the moment. The update adds Xe frame generation support for any GPU that supports shader model 6.4 or higher, including GeForce 10 series cards and newer, AMD Radeon RX 5000 series onwards. However, Intel does recommend an RTX 30 series or a RX 6000 series GPU or newer for the best experience. Now, this is good because if you imagine beforehand, XESS was just for Intel cards, which is fine. NVIDIA, to be fair, have their own proprietary tech. AMD were a bit more open until they got to FSR4 and it had to be with their newest generation cards. I don't really have an issue with that. I'm glad to see now that there's going to be more competition because I believe XESS was actually pretty decent from what I could gather. Not the top one out there, but it was more than sufficient and it was decent competition. So, we always say this, Gray, competition's good. And if we have a few different versions of this out there in the world to choose from, it'd be the dream where, in fact, you get this. In some games, you can literally hit the toggle in graphics and switch between FSR or DLSS, depending on what cards you've got. You can actually choose your tech on top of that. And then you can run lossless scaling in the background if you wanted to as well. So I wouldn't probably recommend running a couple
at the same time. If I had to choose, I probably would go with the lossless scaling because it's $7 and you can do more with it. And it'll work in any game.
So. I would choose that if I didn't have an NVIDIA card, mate. But because I have an NVIDIA card, DLSS is I've said it before, I'll say it again, it is the leader for me. But yes, you do need to pay for that privilege a lot more. So, you know, fair's fair. But yeah, so that's that side of things. And then the last thing I've got, which I found pretty interesting as well, was we're getting some PlayStation 6 and PlayStation handheld specs being leaked recently. We got some rasterization performance estimated out there to be 3 times and 0.5 times that of the PS5 respectively, which is excellent. I'll go on and kind of cover some of this. So there's a YouTuber out there called Moore's Law is Dead, and he's actually been pretty successful in the past with his leaks. So where he actually had a document from Sony in the past, mate, where Sony literally took down his video and went, wait a minute, that's actually our property. How'd you get hold of that? So now what he does is he just extracts the information from the document and puts it on one of his own docs. That way they can't get him. So he goes on to actually talk a little bit about what these specs are going to be. Now, it's a bit techy and a bit geeky, this one, so apologies, guys. Its main goal will be keeping keeping power lower than on a base PlayStation 5, with the target being 160 watts. The console employ a chiplet design with 8 Zen 6 cores and between 40 and 40 RDNA 5 compute units clocked at over 3 gigahertz. Now, I hope it's a good bit over 3 gigahertz because I'm pretty sure they can hit that at the moment. There are fewer compute units than the 60 available for the PS5 Pro, but they'll run much faster. Moreover, RDNA 5 is expected to bring a noticeable improvement in IPC performance, so each compute unit will deliver more performance than CUs in the PS5 Pro. It goes on to mention as well that the memory has a lower bus than the PS5 Pro, so 160 or 192-bit compared to PS5 Pro's 256-bit. But it'll be powered by much faster GDDR7 memory to allow it to reach clocks of 32 gigabits. Yeah. I was going to say gigawatts, like Doc Brown.
Gigawatts, yes.
For an estimated bandwidth of 640 gigabits a second to 768, depending on the final bus spec. Now, the PS5 Pro's bandwidth is 576 gigabits a second, just to give you an idea of what's what. They're estimating that the rasterization performances, which is what we are mostly interested in here on the Extreme Gaming Podcast, like raw performance before any machine learning is taken into consideration. It's a bit of a dying art, but it is still a thing that happens. It will be over 3 times that of the base PS5. And around double that of the PS5 Pro. That would place the performance level of a PS6 at roughly that of an RTX 4080, which is very respectable for a console. Bear in mind, it's a lot smaller. Now, it's not quite an apple-to-apple comparison. These things never usually are, but it gives you an idea. The thing that was the PS6, so they are they're talking about the PlayStation Portable that will be coming out, Project Canis, I believe it's called. And it'll use a 3-nanometer die.
What?
Canis, not cannabis. Canis.
Oh, okay. Just
It will use a 3-nanometer die equipped with 4 Zen 6 C cores. The GPU is expected to have between 12 and 20 RDNA 5 compute units, clocked between 1.6 and 2.2, and it will have LP, which is the low power DDR5X RAM, which it is lower tech, but it is very fast at 7,500 megatransfers.
Well, for consoles, that's great. I mean,
for a portable console, it's phenomenal. They're targeting a 15 watt power limit. Now, I think where they're aiming to go with this one, Gray, is it's natural for some people to compare the PS5 Pro to what the PS6 may be, but they won't be doing it that way. They'll be comparing like for like. So they'll be comparing a PS6 to a PS5-based edition console. Right. That's what they'll do. But they have to obviously be more powerful than the PS5 Pro. The problem is the price would have to be lower than the PS5 Pro, and or they have to discontinue the PS5 Pro if they want to keep the prices about the same. Otherwise, it wouldn't make much sense. So we think, we estimate this console will be between $500 and $600. Lot of money. But they're continuing this thing of basically making a glorified PC, making their new portable console. Instead of a different platform, it'll be the same kind of platform, but a dialed-down spec, a bit like an Xbox Series S is to the X. You release one game on one, you have to release a game on both. They want the new consoles to hit 4K 120. They'll want a PS portable, PlayStation portable, to hit full fat 1080 at 60 minimum with high graphics. And they'll be aiming for good battery life, that, because you don't need more than 1080p in a portable console, Grace, so they can get away with lower specs than that. But again, you have to be able to release a game for both platforms. I love the fact that PlayStation are getting back involved in the portable industry, because let's say the PSP portable and the PSP Vita, while I didn't have any of them, were cracking little consoles, and they had some exclusives out for them as well. So that'd be good to see, but don't expect to see them anytime soon, though. They just have to sign off on these things years in advance. So the well and truly have signed off on that now, and I'll just be going through final checks. You won't see these things any earlier than the end of 2027, maybe the beginning of 2028. There is also no guarantees that they'll release both of these at the same time. They might stagger these out. If they're smart, they would do that. One financial year, one in the other. But it'll be backwards compatible with PS5, PS4, PS3 style problem because of that cell chip that they've got. But yeah, that's pretty interesting. That's pretty cool. I love new tech.
Are you going to put your advance order in now? Or?
Yes. Where'd I go?
Believe me, if they offered it now, I could see people doing it. Yeah, I'll do it.
I just hope it looks better than the PS5 just looks ugly. I've never liked it. It just not for me. I love the PS4. I love the PS4 Pro. They look cool. But yeah, that's another generation that Sony are running away with in terms of winning. So,
I can't really speak because I paid the Founders Edition price for the Expanse game, Osiris Reborn, and that may not be out until 2027. So,
that is nuts, man! How late that game is coming. I can't.
They haven't set a date yet. I'm assuming that would be about, but I could be wrong because there's been. But they haven't even said even a proposed date yet. So I would never do that just off the cuff. I just did it this one time, so I get the accolades and I'm in the Hall of Fame and my name is on the game and da-da-da-da-da.
I hope, they shouldn't be releasing it that far ahead of time. They should do it within a year. We've always said that a year kind of limit because it's too much. It's too much of a tease. It's not fair on fans, but they're a smaller studio. And they want to crowdfund a little bit for this to get some funds. And so I get that. And we have seen some gameplay. So it's not as if it's fantasy. They've got a previous solid record as well. So, great Gray. That's a game I'll play as well. I'll just let you be the schmuck that put the money
up. What I'm hoping is, I would assume since I'm a founder, that they'll probably have early access like months before everyone else, which would be kind of cool.
Here's a shout. You should probably try reaching out to the studio to see if we could get advanced like a key or something, see if we can review it. Where's the harm?
Yeah, I'll say, look, I'm a founder. I bought the game. Now we need a couple of copies.
Yeah, Trev needs a key. He hasn't bought it, but he loves Expanse.
That's right. And I'll go, Trev.
So we've got a sick Matt this week, but he'll be back next week because there's a couple of things he's wanting to talk about. We sometimes get some keys from developers, publishers to review, and we know whenever we get a simulator game that right Matthew is our man. He will be back next week and we'll be talking about Gaming Cafe Simulator. Yes, you heard me right, people. That man is simulator daft, and we asked him if he wanted to cover a simulator game. He went, "There's a bear shit in the woods." Yes, he is all over it.
By the way, I've seen a trailer on the game. I mean, actual gameplay. It's kind of cool. Yeah, it's kind of neat. I mean, they not only have the part where the people come in and they rent space and they play the game and work, but they also show you their shop. They have a shop where they're fixing PCs, upgrading PCs and stuff to be put back out on the floor, blah, blah, blah. So I was kind of like, all right, this is kind of cool.
I look forward to Matt's colorful review of that next week. Hopefully he's back. A little bit shorter episode this time than usual, just because there's only two of us and we've got a couple of people off, and that's fine. We're still an hour and a half or so we've still done well. The quiz hopefully will be back next week as well. No point doing it with just the two of us.
Especially if I have the answers.
Well, yeah, exactly, man. That's just not going to work at all. Thank you, Gray, for joining us for this one. We will, hopefully we'll have Tar back next week as well. He can't always make it on every week, but hopefully we have him on. But either way, you still have Gray and I here each week regardless, so don't worry about that.
Yep.
But yeah, say goodbye to people, Gray. Until next week.
Goodbye to the people. Bye.
Cheerio.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart. In my heart, I have but one.